so far.
Good.
So far, so good. Don't mess it up.
That's what I was going to say. Is hopefully I can continue the streak there.
Right. All right, so this is just my monthly fire wardens report. Budget, we're continuing to work with Todd Hurd and put together the plan for the exterior siding on the fire station over at Pinedale, and then looking at getting garage doors on there as well, working with maintenance to get, you know, colors and insulation and those kind of things working and going. Emergency incidents. April, it hadn't started grass fire season yet, so it wasn't too busy yet, so we only had 20 incidents in April. You can see it's pretty evenly distributed.
That'll be a different number for next report, won't it?
Yeah, we were there for a while. We were having, you know, 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 a day there for quite a while. I was sure glad to see the rain last week.
Yeah. Don't have to worry about any till after the next wind.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, so things are slowing down now, but I'm sure they're going to pick back up again, so we'll see. But yeah, in April, it wasn't too bad there. No fire investigations last month. Public education prevention was going strong. We went to the BOCES and met with the early education program that they have over there and did some fire prevention with them and did some slash fire burning and met with the fields groups and the collaborative program and did a public meeting for the Monument Ridge project. Smoke detectors program still going strong and continuing to install those throughout the community. Training, we finished our annual red card training. We had 56 firefighters that successfully completed all the requirements to be, you know, nationally certified wildland firefighters. So that includes, you know the physicals and the refreshers and the.
Is that distributed throughout the county pretty evenly, or is it?
Yeah, actually, it's a requirement for all battalions that they all need to go through it. The only real restrictions there is if somebody's either training restricted or medically restricted, then we don't issue a card to them. Or if they don't have previous documented experience and if they didn't have the annual refresher training. So we have over 100 firefighters, or it fluctuates, but about 100 firefighters. But in order to be issued a red card and be considered nationally qualified, then there's several check boxes that need to be fulfilled, and 56 of our firefighters were able to complete that for the remaining didn't complete for a variety of different reasons, but just a way of maintaining accountability and training and making sure we get the right people doing the right jobs. Then on top of that, actually, just worthwhile note there is we did an annual refresher training for road and bridge employees, and we try to do that every year and make sure that in case if we do have a Cliff Creek kind of a fire and we need to use dozer operators or whatever the case may be, that the road and bridge employees have a basic understanding of the safety and the inherent hazards and how to get up there, and then we have the ability to use the county employees to, you know, operate the dozer, and significant time savings really is what it boils down to is making sure that we can quickly deploy, you know, resources and make a 10-acre fire stop there instead of going to a, you know, several thousand acre fire. So it's very beneficial for everybody. Training facility usage. Our recruit program is going strong, continuing to use the facility down there. We'll be finishing that up here in about 2 months. I'm very, very pleased with this year's recruit academy, and the firefighters are doing extremely well. Firefighters in stress tests, we've completed all of them now. 79 of our firefighters participated in the process. Actually, I guess 81 did physical, 79 did the actual 12-lead stress test. The remaining firefighters are either on a leave of absence or medically restricted and unable to do the stress test, or for a variety of reasons where they they were out of town and didn't finish them. So I'm actually really pleased with that. That's actually a little bit up from last year's numbers. Six firefighters, actually that's updated. I'll give this to you in the report next month, but we just finished testing yesterday for the EMT class, and 8 of our firefighters successfully completed the EMT class. Continuing recertification for CPR and AED and all the battalions. Went to FDIC and attended a conference there, a fire department conference, and learned a lot about some additional training and tools and techniques and changes in trends in technology in the fire service. Cooperative service meetings continue to do a lot of meetings. It's kind of amazing when I look at my calendar, how many meetings we got in a day, but that's a good thing, and continue to push that, promote that program. So with that's the end of my report. I'll stand for any questions.
Cool. Thank you, Chad. I don't. On to the next agenda item.
Okay. Next, I have the radio report. I'll start, if it pleases the commission, I'll start doing a monthly report on the radio progress, so we know
that'd be good. Yeah, thanks, Chad. Keep us posted on that.
Yeah. Thanks, Chad.
Thank you.
All right. So last week on May 1st, we had our, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, we had our Harris kickoff meeting. Essentially, the kickoff meeting is the Harris Corporation's, I don't know, it's their commitment to the project. Essentially, it's when they get all the right people to come to Sulphur County and have everybody sit down, all the engineers and the people that are actually going to implement the project, you know, come and make sure that they work through all the details, everybody understands roles and responsibilities and common expectations, and there's basically it's just an opportunity to make sure that we have an open dialogue and there's no miscommunication where, you know, somebody thought somebody else was doing it. So really, from the kickoff meeting forward, now every 2 weeks we'll be doing phone conferences and we'll be getting status updates and reviewing progress and making sure that the timelines that the project manager has set forth are going to be implemented. As it stands right now, everything's on track for you know, completion and everything's on schedule. Ask me that in a few months. I'm sure I'll have a different answer. But you know, from the kickoff meeting, everything they projected in their Gantt progress chart and everything is looking very strong, and I'm pleased with the progress that we're making so far. That was a big deal for us to get that kickoff meeting scheduled and get everybody here and get things truly started on the project. We've got a WildLink interoperability meeting scheduled. It says in the report there on 5:30 that's actually been rescheduled. The PSCC has moved their date back to the 29th instead. And at that meeting, that'll be when we explore the ISSI architecture and make sure we understand exactly you know, how the Harris engineers need to work with the WildLink engineers and make sure that the two systems connect together properly and that there's
Commissioner Bousman, you're going to be in attendance at that
PSCC. I'm not available
that day. Okay. Yeah. All right. Do you need somebody to cover you, or Shad, you good?
I kind of leave that up to Shad, I guess.
Okay. Do you need
to
another?
To me, it's a technical, more of a technical discussion between the Harris engineers and WildLink.
Okay, so this really isn't the discussion that you were going to be involved with the governor's office.
Well, my discussion with Tony Young led to this coming about. There's still a need for a discussion between the governor's office and the tribal, I guess the tribal members on the PSCC is the way I understood that email. Is that how you understood it, Chad?
Yeah, so my understanding is we'll go down and we'll discuss interoperability and make sure that the engineers are talking to each other so they know how to tie two together. There's some unanswered questions about how exactly we're going to co-locate on the White Pine Tower, and we need to address that and meet with the tribal representatives and the state representatives and then the U.S. Forest Service and make sure everybody sits down in a meeting and we can all agree on a plan to move forward with that project.
Now, is the tribal representative from the tribe or the tribal representative for the Forest Service?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
My understanding is it's the tribal representative on the PSCC, the Public Safety Communication Commission, will be there. I don't know that it's the same person that will be the liaison from the Forest Service or not.
Okay.
You would
more or less hope that if the tribal representative on the PSCC was agreeable, that would have some influence if there's another position that the Forest Service has to communicate with to go forward with the changes they need to make. But the Forest Service and feedback from them seemed, their suggestion was we follow up on our end but with the governor's office and the tribal reps on the PSCC and see what happened. They seemed a little reluctant to want to jump in the middle of it and start over the discussion. Mm. That was, at least that's the way I read between the lines in that email.
Yes, I would agree.
Do you need a member of the commission to go with you, or can you handle her by yourself?
Yeah, let me follow up on that. I'm not sure the exact agenda and what's the appropriate format of that meeting. So okay. let me get a little more information on what to expect when we get down there.
Just
and
let
I'll,
us know.
I'll come back. Okay.
Okay.
The Marbleton SO radio tower update. Dave Smith and myself and I'm getting ahead of myself. So a couple of weeks ago, we went down and met with the Planning and Zoning Board down there. They made a unanimous recommendation for approval of the new tower at the SO building. And then last night, myself and Sheriff Lear and Dave went down, and Dave presented a very good presentation to the Town Council, and they also recommended the approved the building. The new tower. as well as the building permit for that. So very excited to get some progress in that, and we can start moving forward with getting the tower going. Okay. So excellent progress there. Let's see here. The Kismet Tower, we're currently waiting Harris to finalize their site plan drawings and attachments on the tower and so on, and make sure we understand exactly what it is that Harris needs on that site, and then we'll submit an application to the BLM for a site amendment. Same thing on the Hogsback Tower. We just spoke about the White Pine Tower. I did meet with the U.S. Forest Service local representatives, and they did find the as-built for the tower, or at least the assumption is that it's the as-built. It doesn't actually say as-built on the plans, but. So we're moving forward with that, making sure that we know exactly what was built up there, and that'll help with the engineers to understand the load calculations and make sure everybody is on the same page about what can be done with that tower and make sure that we don't overload the tower.
Go ahead. Mr. Chairman, in regard to that, and I hope I was not wrong, but I indicated to the governor's office that the site at the tower base itself was built for the extension, put an extension on the height of the tower would not require anything except more tower.
So that's
was I wrong in that? Because that's what I was told.
That's exactly what I was told as well. When Harris came to me and they said, "Can you prove it?" And my answer was, "Well, how?" And they said, "Well, we need as built to verify exactly what the foundation is." And so that's what we were trying to track down is we need some documentation that they can hang their hat on and say, yep, now we understand this is the appropriate foundation to allow that extension and the loads for the additional weight of the microwaves and the tower or the antennas and so on. So the questions really is do we have the documentation, the plans and the drawings that prove what the foundation is, and that's what we were trying to track down.
Okay. Here. Thank you.
That's what you're trying to find now.
Yeah,
okay.
And does that make sense?
Now, Kismet and Hogsback are going to take a little alteration, right?
Very minor alterations. Basically, the shelters are going to change a little bit, and then there'll be some generator, and that's the primary change is the emergency power supply generator up there. It's minor alterations, though, but there are alterations, so documentation needs to be approved. Let's see here. I guess I'll the one I'll skip to the end there. One thing that would help me, and I'm sure it helped everybody else, is we haven't formally chosen a name for the radio system, and there's been a couple of different examples that have floated around. I wrote down a couple of them that I've captured that people have been talking about. I just asked for the commission to review that and maybe come up with a new name or select one of the ones that have been floating around. But just for sake of communications, it would help us to come to an agreement on what we want to call the new system.
I like the last one.
Better too.
I was thinking of calling it Chad's Baby, but
yeah.
Appropriate.
Yeah.
There was one back in
the Cooper radio system.
The Cooper Memorial.
I've heard the Sublette County Interoperable Network, the Western Wyoming Interoperable Network, the Sublette Interoperable Radio System. Essentially, I think the intent is to convey that the end result is that it'll tie together multiple radio networks, and as long as the name reflects that, I think really anything that is easy to remember and flows easy would be appropriate. But I just ask for some guidance from the commission, and we'll start using whatever you choose.
Yep. Gentlemen, you know my vote.
I like SIRS, Bill.
SIRS.
I'm fine with that. I would go with Alexa, but that's the only name I can remember.
Alexa. If this thing worked like Alexa, that'd be great.
If everything did, it would be great.
I thought you meant so.
Did anybody have any problems with going with that last name then?
What is
it? Unless you want to put Sublet County in there instead
of just Sublet.
Skiers.
It does have the word radio in it, which the one on top, mm-hmm. Interoperable network. If somebody just sees that, they're going to say, well, what is that? What are you talking about? Maybe.
I just like the acronym, SIRS.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, too. It doesn't matter.
Call it that. That'll be fine.
Yeah. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. So SIRS it is, then. Oh, just for clarification, Sublet County Interoperable Radio System, SCIRS, or SIRS?
Well, SIRS is easier to say.
SIRS,
so.
SIRS, SIRS.
Okay. Most people, when they see Sublet, knows it's Sublet County.
They know who they're talking about.
Okay.
I think when you say Sublet and not use county, that it kind of includes everybody, not just the county, too. So, anyway. Works for me. Call it SIRS.
SIRS it is.
Okay.
With that, I would...
Ready to go to an executive session?
Yes, sir.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we go into executive session pursuant to state statute 16-4-405A7 to discuss real estate. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We'll go into executive session. Who do you need to stay, Chad?
Sheriff Lear and Dave Smith, please.
Okay, and Dave, and of course our lawyer.
Oh, didn't I see
him? He's in disguise today.
Holly, would you close the door, please? Thank you.